Good evening. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and ask that you will help us to hear what it would say to us this evening. Amen. It might be helpful to keep your Bibles open at the story of Abraham, but we're going to come to that in a little bit. Last week, we began a new sermon series for this year, which will take us back to some of the basics in following Jesus, as seen through the lens of the book of Hebrews. And this is the verse that Will brought to our attention. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. It's starting to sound like cafe theology, isn't it? A solid foundation in our Christian life is really, really important. Does anyone know what this sculpture is called? Angel of the North. Yes, stunning. But does anyone know any facts about its foundations? There we are. There is more beneath the ground by way of foundations than there is in the height of the sculpture above the ground. Solid foundations are really important. The author of Hebrews is keen that his audience goes on to maturity in the Christian faith. First, we must lay firm foundations in the basic teachings about Jesus, and then we can go on to be more mature and gain an appetite for other aspects of Christian teaching. And once that firm foundation is laid, there's no need to sort of keep repeating that process. The author of Hebrews outlines these six fundamental doctrines, the basic aspects of Christian teaching that may well have been regarded by this particular church as the key features of teaching for those new to the faith. Last week we looked at the first of these, the building block of repentance from acts that lead to death. Repentance is that turning away from those things that we do wrong in our lives, but also may well mean, as Will explained last week, turning from dead works, attempts that we might make to basically save ourselves through ritual, through coming to church, or being good because then God will owe us one, taking pride in our activity for God and doing it without having a heart that's warm towards him. And today we're moving on to the second of these, faith in God. And this is the basic plan for the evening. So we're going to firstly look at faith in God, and then faith in, that's come up the wrong order. But we're going to look at faith in action next, which is our Abraham. And then faith in life. And then following that, any questions? Okay, so faith in God. Repentance and faith in God go hand in hand. Repentance is turning away from the darkness of sin, and faith is turning to the light of God. It's repentance from and faith towards. One's negative and one's got positive overtones. Repentance and faith are inseparable elements of the Christian gospel. The old must be abandoned and the new taken on. Both repentance and faith are reflected in that very simple ABC that tells us how to become a follower of Jesus. And maybe this is familiar to you as something you considered when you came to faith. It was something that I was aware of. A stands for admit. There's the repentance bit. To admit to God honestly that you have fallen far short of his standards, that you've missed the mark. You've told him to shove off because actually you're in charge of your life. B is for believe, and there's the faith in God bit. Believe that God loves you and loves you so much that he gave his son to die so that you can be forgiven and need have no fear for the present or the future, both in this life and beyond. C is for choose. There's the faith in God bit again. Choose to trust in what Jesus has done. Choose to live your life for him and follow him. Whether we're going to live our lives as Christians, what we're going to do about Jesus is a choice we all have to make. And choosing to repent and to have faith in God, says the writer of Hebrews, is the foundation of our lives as Christians. If you have faith in God this evening, where did that come from? Has it just been there for as long as you can remember? Was it as a result of getting to know some believers and wanting to know more of what they have? Did it come about through a really difficult time in your life? Or did it start out as an intellectual exercise to explore faith, and then it touched your heart? There will be as many different stories as there are people here. It takes faith to become a disciple of Jesus. There may well be an initial step as we say yes to God. We may not know the outcome. We may only understand a few things about Jesus. We just see enough to step out and begin to follow. That is an act of faith. And God loves faith. He loves to respond to it with whatever that person needs. We don't need much faith for God to respond. With faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, a mountain can be moved. Hebrews 11 defines faith as this: to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. And that's the opposite of the world's view that says, I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, faith in action. So let's take a look at Abraham for a minute. And we know him probably more familiarly as Abraham, but at this point in our story, he's Abraham. So if you want to keep your Bible open at the passage that Richard read. Abraham is not just any old shepherd. He lived nearly 2,000 years before Jesus. He was a wealthy member of one of the most advanced civilizations in the world, Ur of the Chaldeans. God made it plain that he should leave it all behind and start out on a journey with no fixed destination, and he obeys. But with that, God gives him a promise that Abraham and his descendants will be made by God into a great nation. God will bless him, and through him, bless others. After this, Abraham goes on to have a lot of difficult experiences and makes some serious mistakes. But faith is a key part of his story. And indeed, he's often called the father of faith. And I've just pulled out three things about faith that we can learn from him, which I think might be helpful. In verses 2 and 3, we see that faith and doubt and despair can travel together. Abraham and his wife are childless. So how can God's promise be fulfilled? How can anyone be blessed through him? How can he be the father of a great nation? It looks as if Abraham had taken on the practice at the time of adopting a son, Eliezer, when he had travelled through Damascus. He would be their servant and then in time eventually inherit their possessions. There is no heir of Abraham's flesh and blood who would fulfil God's promise. Abraham is really discouraged. And he pours out his heart. The waiting is too long. We, like Abraham, are free to express our doubts and misgivings. Where are you, Lord? It's been a long time since I knew you were with me. How long? And in doing so, in expressing those doubts and misgivings, that's what leads to the Lord's response. Because the second point is that faith doesn't rest on us, but on the God that we have faith in. So look at the God that Abraham serves. A God who doesn't tell him off for his doubt, but actually takes note of Abraham's need. Twice we read, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. God tells Abraham not to be afraid, in verse 1, that he is his shield, or his king, his protector, and his very great reward. Abraham is to focus on the characteristics of God. God is faithful. That's all that Abraham has to rely on. He himself can't contribute towards the fulfillment of God's promises. God takes him out and reassures him using the night sky. There's that darkness again. Probably there were about 8,000 stars that could be seen in the darkness of that Near Eastern sky, and many more that couldn't be seen. God speaks to him in the dark and repeats his promise to Abraham that he will have a son and his descendants will be too many to count. So fill your mind with the characteristics of God, for our faith is in him. When you're stood in the dark, look at God's character. It's who we have faith in that matters, not how big our faith is. And then thirdly, through faith, we are accepted by God. Verse 6 says, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Because of his belief, he was put right with God. God saw him as sinless. The root of the word believe suggests that Abraham put a massive amen, thumbs up to God, and chose to continue to trust in his promises, regardless of what circumstances around suggested. There are two key words in the Old Testament, as much as they are in the New Testament, grace and faith, and they're present in this story. 400 years before the law is given, Abraham is considered right before God, not because of anything he does, but because he trusts God. So keeping the law is not what makes us acceptable to God. Abraham is an example to us of what we see fulfilled primarily in the New Testament, where grace and faith continue to be keywords. In Jesus, God approaches us in undeserved love, and our response is to trust him. And through Jesus, he gives us right standing before him. And Ephesians puts it so well. I'm sure you're familiar with this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay. Faith in life. Faith is not just something we exercise as we begin to follow Jesus. It's faith in life and throughout life. We begin in faith and we go on in faith. Don't forget that. Don't stop exercising faith. Don't stop growing. As we said about repentance last week, there is an ongoing need to keep our hearts from being hardened, and we continue to need to turn away from what's wrong and turn towards Jesus in faith. We are on a faith journey. Each day, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and stretch you. I probably can't remember a time when I didn't have some kind of faith in God. But there was a definite day in my teens when I heard and responded to a call to follow Jesus and live life as a Christian. Sometimes I've been okay at keeping a conversation with God going. Sometimes I haven't been able to, and I've had to rely on other people's prayers for me. I've been part of 6 different churches over the years, got lots from each, but at a particularly tiring time in my life, used to fall asleep in the sermon each week. Not recently, you'll be pleased to know. Especially when I'm preaching. I've experienced the joy of new life with my own children and the birth of children in my family. And I've experienced the death of friends and family, sometimes what seems too soon. I've known a sense of God's plan for my life and equally held on in the dark when overwhelmed by uncertainty and inadequacy. At times, I've been able to let go of the shifting sands of my own feelings and circumstances and focus on the character of God, particularly, as Bernard prayed actually, as a faithful rock beneath my feet. That sense of who he is often what's kept me going. Now, a guy called Roger Walton has written a really good book about being a disciple of Jesus. And he suggests that we learn and grow in our faith the most in the context of three things. The first one is worship. In hearing God's word, in praying, reflecting on our own and together. Joining together in the worship of God changes us, takes us out of ourselves, and helps to remind us who God is. The second way we grow is in community, where we intentionally walk with others, share stories of what God is doing in our lives, practice serving, make mistakes, walk in love, and be accountable to others. And then thirdly, we grow through mission. The need to look outward stretches our faith, helps us to trust God in more hostile environments. We can witness in the school and the workplace. We learn by doing, which is often the way Jesus taught his disciples. Perhaps those three make a good benchmark by which we can measure whether we are keeping an active, joyful, living faith in God. We're surrounded, my friends, by people who put their faith in other things. Insurance policies, another person, their own abilities, the power of a good education, what money can do. We are called to put our faith in God, the God who has revealed himself in Jesus, who fills us with his Spirit, who is a good Father. We're called to trust in his goodness, even when life is tough, to consider the truths of the Bible and remind ourselves how he's worked in our lives so far, and allow that to change our perspective and build our faith. We may not always know where we are going, but like Abraham, we know who we are going with.